Milwaukee, Wisconsin congregation, Mr. Warner Schmidt.
Good morning. English speakers, please bear with me as I attempt an introduction in Italian.
Buongiorno, fratelli e sorelle in Cristo. Che bella giornata, che bel posto, e quale splendido significato a questa festa per noi. Siamo davvero benedetti di essere qui insieme, chiamate fuori dal mondo ed uniti nella mente e nella missione. Voglio dare a tutti il mio personale benvenuti a questi giorni santi. Mia moglie Rachel e io siamo qui alla festa di Tabernacoli per la seconda volta e siamo contenti di vedere tante volte familiari. Non vediamo l'ora di incontrare oltre di voi di conoscervi tutti. Grazie per l'opportunità di parlarvi della parola di Dio. Spero di poter trasmettere tutto il mio entusiasmo e zelo nel messaggio di oggi. And for those of you that speak English, I won't translate. I can't go the other way now, too. What an event, the feast. We've all made the trip. Like my wife Rachel and I, many of you have traveled thousands of miles to be with God's people here. Some of you have traveled further, and some of you less. No matter the distance, we have come to be in a place which God has richly blessed, a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of sound mind, a place of unity. It sounds so comforting and wonderful. Of course it does. But let's be honest. Coming to the feast is not always easy. We have left the comfort and familiarity of our homes to occupy strange new dwellings with unusual layouts and different features. We've taken off work, some of our jobs in jeopardy as a result. We've endured scrutiny from friends, coworkers, and even family who laugh at the idea of a holy day or the word tabernacles. We've struggled to pack the appropriate items and wrestled with our bags, getting them in the car or through security at the airport. Some of us have had far worse difficulties in our travels. I remember when my wife and I were here in 2014, the airline misplaced my main piece of luggage, which contained all of my suits, shirts, ties, shoes for services, and that bag remained misplaced for 8 days. That same year, we knew a couple that had lost a bag, and to this day, they still have not gotten it back. That was 3 years ago. Some of you may be in the same position now, and I certainly hope not. Some of you got here early, some late. Some may still be traveling, and unfortunately, some may never make it to the feast. We have willingly come to a place where we are without most of our things and all of our treasured possessions. Many of us are without a refrigerator, a vehicle, or even something as simple as our own alarm clock or a coffee maker. And when you put it into perspective, it all quickly becomes an overwhelming and daunting exercise. It makes you wonder, if getting to the feast can be such a challenge, why do we come? Why do we keep coming year after year? In my message today, which I've titled Home Sweet Homecoming, I'm going to talk about the important but often missed significance of our pilgrimage to the feast and why we keep coming back. Please turn with me to Hebrews 11, commonly referred to as the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, and I'll start in verse 13. These all,
referring to Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. These scriptures are fascinating to me. The great men and women of faith described just a few verses earlier considered themselves strangers on this earth, exiles, pilgrims, outsiders, much like how we might feel in Italy, as from America. They inhabited the earth much like we do, but they counted themselves as just visitors, temporary. I don't know about you, but I'm awfully comfortable here. Take a second to look around. We have a beautiful meeting hall. Italy has beautiful landscapes. The food is wonderful. The fellowship is exceptional. It's hard not to feel good about being here. But now, in Italy, we have the opportunity to rehearse those that finished their race before us. We can even walk on the same streets in Rome, as many of you did yesterday, that the apostles walked on. Apart from the feast, back in America, my wife and I enjoy a life of comfort too, a life of relative ease. We have nice things, enjoy good food, and feel safe. It's hard to come here and not think of that. It's hard to come here and not think of the comforts of home. But more comforting than that is the reminder from these scriptures that the place I call home, thousands of miles away, really isn't my home. My true home is with God and Christ in the kingdom. Let me repeat that. My true home is with God and Christ in the kingdom. There will be no greater homecoming than when Christ returns. There will be no sweeter home than the perfectly administered and governed kingdom of God, which Christ will establish here. And this is exactly what the feast pictures. It represents that time of peace, comfort, harmony, restoration. It's a glimpse into the family of God. And it is because of this familial environment that the feast elicits such great memories and feelings. It is because of this that the feast feels like home. We're reminded of experiences we've had, food we've eaten, fellowship we've enjoyed, people we've met, and messages we've heard. We yearn for that closeness, we ache for the security, and we crave the sheer comfort of home. We look forward to it because even though we've left the security of our earthly homes, our pilgrimage here is a foreshadowing of our homecoming to our permanent true home. Our pilgrimage here is a foreshadowing of our homecoming to our permanent true home in God's kingdom. So what about the difficulties I mentioned in my introduction? I stated in no uncertain terms that it can be difficult to come to the feast. Even as joyful as being here is, it can be hard to get here. We acknowledge that sometimes it's even a risk to come. Maybe our job is at risk. Maybe in our travels, even our safety is at risk. Not unlike other risks we encounter, we have to ask, is it worth it? Christ, speaking in Luke 18, verse 27, if you turn there, Luke 18, verse 27, Christ addresses this concern directly. "But
But Christ said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, see, we have left our homes and followed you. And Christ said to them, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Having already come to live as a man just like one of us, Jesus fully understood the magnitude of his request to the disciples, and we are following in their footsteps now. He wants us to leave our earthly homes to join him in the permanent home he's built for us. Christ knows what's at stake. He knows it's a risk in a worldly sense. He knows it can be difficult. And yet he wants us to be here and to reward us for it. Not just in the physical blessings that we are enjoying here, but spiritually and in the coming age. He reminds us in this passage that the glory God has planned for all of us is without a doubt worth it. Eternal life. Brethren, we are among the few. The church is literally thousands among billions. We have answered the call. We have chosen God's way. We have accepted the risk, regardless of difficulty. And when Christ says come, we gladly come, as if we are really coming home. We leave our things, everything that we have, to pursue Christ. We leave our earthly dwellings to pursue this feeling of belonging in God's family, sincere in our spiritual homecoming. Home, sweet homecoming. What are you hoping for when you finally go home? What are you looking forward to when we are joined to our heavenly family? The mighty shout and great resonating sound of the seventh trumpet, transforming into a spirit being and meeting Christ in the air? When Satan is bound and the world is finally free from his influence? A time when we can serve more effectively? A time of restoration? A time of healing? No more pain? No more sorrow? No tears? No hurting? A time when those who have been compromised by disease will be cured? A time when those who have been marred by accident will be made whole again? A time when we finally get to see our loved ones again. A time when our families are finally made complete. These are the building blocks that make home the comfort God designed it to be. And they are all embodied by God's holy day plan, especially the last great day, the eighth day. And right now, at this very feast, we've been given time to immerse ourselves in this feeling, to culminate the love of brethren, to build our family, to work together, to be unified in this, our temporary home, as practice for our coming permanent one. Home, sweet homecoming. It's all too easy to focus on the difficulties and the challenges and the trials. When my wife were here in 2014 and I was without my bag, I was mad. You might even say furious, though I didn't let on. On my first European trip, my bag was lost, and every day I sat up in my room looking at how few items I had, disappointed, angry, distraught. Even when I was surrounded by the loving brethren who offered to help, who gave me clothes, who encouraged me, it was still hard for me to stop obsessing about not having my things. It was difficult not to think of the expense of replacing these items or the inconvenience of doing so. And unfortunately, at that time,
I let it rob me of this vision of homecoming. I let that interfere with my desire to be here. It was just a bag, just replaceable items, no matter how much value I put in them. And that value is entirely insignificant when it comes to the meaning of the feast and what it pictures for mankind. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll start right away in verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So what can we take away from this? Trials will come. It's an unfortunate reality. We will experience difficulties. We will lose loved ones. We will have family that never understand truth. We will have friends that won't join us at a feast. We will stick out in the world. We will be persecuted. It will be risky. And our earthly homes may even be destroyed. But if we place greater value in the coming kingdom, if we truly look forward to it as our home, we can overcome the world. We are striving for another place and another time. Each year, through the holy days, we get a picture of God's plan of salvation for mankind, the joining of a perfect family and establishment of a permanent home. We have come to the figurative home of the feast to get a glimpse into what that will be. Not only that, but we have an opportunity to practice being that family. We have an opportunity to live in unity. It doesn't matter if we speak different languages or have differing cultures. One mind, one truth, one Lord. We can belong together in this home. We are not of this world. We are exiles, pilgrims, temporary. We left our physical homes and we are here in faith, yearning for that heavenly city, that perfect home built by God. We accept these risks and the challenges because all things are possible with and through God. We remain courageous with the mindset that we would rather be away from the comfort of our earthly homes just to be with God's people at home with the Lord. Brethren, look around you at your future fellow members in God's family, future residents of God's eternal home. Remember this vision. Remember why we come to the feast. Remember why we keep coming back year after year. We're coming home, and always look forward to our one true home, sweet homecoming.